You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
All right, we just got done talking about quarterbacks. If you missed it, ESPN, in their annual vote of a random sampling of 70 executives, coaches, and scouts, C.J. Stroud fell out of the top 10 this offseason. He's looks to be 11th. It's an honorable mention, but he's the first one listed. So they've got the top 10. And Jane Daniels is 5. He is the C.J. Stroud of this year. Like the path of both Jaden Daniels and the team mirror the Texans from last year where, wow, best rookie year ever. This guy's amazing. He's the next big thing. We've got all this cap space to go get wide receivers like Deebo Samuel and, you know, to go get weapons and things like that. And we know how it worked out for the Texans. They were ultimately done in by offensive line play and poor coaching on the offensive side.
Right, and CJ has to make some improvements as a quarterback too, as any second-year quarterback does. Jaden Daniels has things he needs to work on. Yeah. I think that last year, going into the season, my biggest concern was, all right, if you're gonna operate this offense, it's really hard to do it if you don't have at least an effective or a credible rushing attack.
Yeah,
you know, it's really, really hard operating the way they do if you can't run the ball. And Bobby Slowick hadn't established that they could run the ball. So lo and behold, they can't run the ball. All of their play action is for naught. Linebackers are just waiting for whichever. It was bad. The execution was poor, all of that. So likewise with Jaden Daniels, I think moving forward, even without saying a guy's going to go through a QB sophomore slump or anything, I have a real hard time. If you look at the long list of various rookies of the years who are quarterbacks, like Kyler Murray or anybody else like that, depending on what flavor of quarterback they are, I don't care. I gotta wait after a rookie quarterback.
Yep.
And I remain very bullish about CJ Stroud. It's just that you just flat out don't know until you see it out there on the field.
Agreed. All right. So speaking of quarterback, the Netflix documentary, 7 episodes, it dropped last week. And I told Amy when we started watching it on Saturday morning, I said, I'll watch the first 2 or 3 episodes. And I just kept going. And I made it to the end of the whole thing. I watched all 7 episodes.
I couldn't remember what my homework assignment was. I thought it was going to be to watch the first 2 or 3 episodes.
I don't remember. Yeah,
I didn't know you were going to go ahead and read the entire textbook.
I didn't either. I had no idea, but then I just kept going. And so I came up with 4 winners and 4 losers. And then I figured if you weren't able to watch the whole thing, is an easy way to consume and react to it. Winners, Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow is the one of the 3 I came away liking the most. I wanted so badly to hate him going into this thing because of all the Fashion Week Paris stuff and all the extra that goes with Joe Burrow sometimes. But he's just a cool dude, man. I'm smitten with him, Seth, like George Costanza was smitten with Elaine's boyfriend back in that episode, Tony.
Is there something with Joe Burrow? With Joe Burrow, the fact that he's always got bags under his eyes, there's something about it where with some people it makes them look mopey, but with guys like Joe Burrow or, say, Vince Vaughn, it makes them look like oh, this guy's living life.
I want to hang out with him. Yeah.
But
yeah.
I also don't know if I want that guy to be my quarterback. Hey, like, why are there always bags under? Why are you always so tired, damn it?
It's funny.
But he seems to be he's the closest right now of all the quarterbacks in the league that feels like 1970s quarterback.
It's Joe Namath.
In terms of personality.
Yeah,
and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything's way more advanced on the actual football side of things. You can't get away with just, you know, being a complete man about town, but he feels like he's got the whole package when it comes to all of that.
Big bonus points for me in the four winners, four losers with Burrow. He's sitting with his parents at the kitchen table. They're just chopping it up and talking, and his mom points out that he has no idea how to do laundry or work the dishwasher. And, you know, that scores big points with someone like me who does not know how to work our washer dryer, me and Amy, and the dishwasher.
That's a man after your own heart.
Oh, we're cut from the same cloth.
So he's single, right?
He's single. He's got that girlfriend that was his assistant who was at his house when the house got robbed. That was a storyline. Yeah. His house got robbed during the season. Didn't really address that part of it too much. You know, address
what he does. So he must have he just has all his laundry sent out.
I guess. Yeah.
It's a baller move for a young man.
He has a personal stylist that he sends out to go buy clothes for him, and then they just go through all the outfits and everything. Yeah, exactly. I wanted to hate him, Seth.
You didn't think you were going to like him.
I didn't think I was going to like him. I like him so much. I could root for Joe Burrow. I really like him. Winner number two. Winner number two. You got to watch it first.
He may suck you in
like he did me.
Yeah, yeah.
Jared Goff. I like him too. He's like Burrow light, but without the fashionista stuff going on. With the added bonus that he's got a hot wife named Kristen, who's a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model. Mm-hmm. Also very likable. She's got very enjoyable energy about. She's one of these ones that'll sit down on the couch with him and quiz him on the playbook and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, like, I was like that. Yeah. It was like Case Keenum's wife was like that.
Yeah.
Remember, she would quiz. Wasn't it Case's? You've seen that in a bunch of these where the wife sits and goes through the plays. You know what? That's what happened with Tom Brady's Facebook series that he did. I went into it thinking like, oh, great, Giselle is on it. And then I realized like, oh, I like Giselle. Yeah. She had some really good words of advice after they had that was the year the Patriots got destroyed by the Chiefs early in the season.
Mm-hmm, I remember
and
that.
She had some real, I was like, oh, okay. I think I've come around on Giselle.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know she was going to be a hussy about everything.
Well, eventually, I mean, you know, people change. So Joe Burrow, winner, Jared Goff, winner. Okay. Cousins was the one I really didn't want to come into this thing liking, you know, I didn't like him much in the first version of quarterback that he was part of.
Yeah.
I liked a couple very specific things about Kirk Cousins. Two things in particular. One, I like his usage of the voice memo app on the iPhone. He's big into, like, after games, recording quick voice memos to coaches or wide receivers. And if something pops into his head, he got this from Peyton Manning, which probably made me like it because I like Peyton Manning. But he will record things like 20 or 30 seconds and send them to people, you know, just while it's in his head. And I like that level of interplay and communication with people that you're trying to achieve success with. I think that's a good thing. So I like that. I like his voice memo usage. I also liked his dorky coaching style of his 5-year-old's flag football team. They were leading in a game by less than one score down the stretch. Uh-huh. And he set up a play for their best player to get the ball and hopefully run it. He said, if you break into the open field, Jimmy, or whatever his name was, go out of bounds at the 2-yard line so that don't give the ball back to the other team, you know, because the clock
Good
is
game
running.
Management there.
Good game management for 5-year-old flag football.
Well, it wasn't a primetime game, you know, so he was in his element there.
That's true. It's on a Saturday afternoon.
There were probably fewer than 80,000 people in the stands.
Kid would have put the ball on the ground. I thought those were two very – I actually like Cousins in this thing. He was all right.
Look, Cousins is likable in a lot of ways because he feels like an everyman. He's just got kind of that suburban dad vibe to him.
Yeah.
The problem is that he's that suburban dad where it feels like there's just he hasn't broken out of the mold enough. Great, be an everyman. You know, he shops for his clothes at Target. That's great. But I want you, when the bright lights are shining, to have a certain amount of cachet to you. To have a little bit of diva in you somewhere. But he's like, nope, as long as I'm contributing to my 401k, I'm like, oh, everything looks all right.
The Target moment in this was he gets really excited to go to Great Clips and get his hair cut.
Lo and behold, he has an endorsement for Great
Clips. Oh, does he really? Okay,
yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
No, yeah, I saw a post this weekend on Instagram.
Okay.
That, he's in the Hall of Fade.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's a smart marketing thing on his part. Last winner of all the other non-quarterback people, Dan Campbell. Like Bill O'Brien in Hard Knocks, except he's got wins to back up all of his cuss words. You know, like he had a speech after, like, late in the season, and we'll get to the Texans game against the Lions in this thing and the four losers in just a second. But late in the season, when the defense got hit with yet another season-ending injury, he had a speech to the team where he's basically like, offense, and there's a lot of F-bombs, but we're effing leaning on you. We're going for it. Unless it's 4th and 20, we're going for it on every fourth down. I'm like, where's the brick wall? I want to run through it right now for this guy.
Dan Campbell's awesome because if you didn't know anything about his playing career, you'd think he was a linebacker.
Yes.
You don't realize he was an offensive player. Yep. He's not like, people don't think of him as an offensive-minded head coach because with him, it is so much more about the managing and the motivation of everybody.
Yeah.
It is a little bit like Campbell has like a Tomlin type of vibe to him. You don't think of him as an offensive or defensive minded head coach as much as just like, oh yeah, he's a head coach,
dyed-in-the-wool
head coach.
Yep.
And does it. The opposite of Kirk Cousins. Whatever Kirk Cousins is, Dan Campbell's the opposite.
He's the opposite,
of that.
Yeah.
I like the thing about Dan Campbell, because I've seen a few of the clips in here, is the fact that he had, it wasn't just Aaron Glenn. He had another couple notable Aggies on that staff. Like, he leaned into even the college. When you talk about being a rah-rah guy, he brought in guys like Aaron Glenn as his defensive coordinator, who's not a rah-rah guy, but is old. Like, yeah. Aaron's old school in a lot of ways. Like, there's just a certain, there's a culture up there.
Yep.
And you never thought of the Lions as a team that had a culture, but they've very much got a culture.
They definitely do now, for sure. All right, four losers, and two of them are going to be Texans. So stick around. But the first one, Julie Cousins, Kirk's wife, very annoying. Blamed Cousins center. They had a play in the season opener against the Steelers where Cousins going into the game had been complaining about how there's just so much motion in this new offense that he's in Atlanta. You know, there's just really a lot of motion. And sure enough, in that Pittsburgh game, he puts the foot down at the wrong time. The tight end goes in motion. The center snaps it right into the motioning tight end.
Yeah.
And T.J. Watt falls on the ball. They flash up into the crowd, and Julie Cousins is sitting there with his two kids, with their two kids. And the one kid, the younger kid, is asking, Mommy, what just happened? And she basically blamed it on the center. She said, Daddy's friend just dropped the ball. Didn't like that.
Shifting blame, bad example for the kids. Whether it's accurate or not, just say like, oh, the team botched the snap.
Right. Or daddy. You know, show that it's okay. People make mistakes,
including people you
love.
Well, I don't know. You know, without knowing exactly whose fault it was.
But you're right.
She definitely doesn't know in the moment.
Correct.
You don't know in the moment whose fault it is.
You're exactly right. She's also kind of a drama queen. Like when Kirk got benched late in the season. The fact that he called Michael Penix after the news came out to say, hey, it's your job now. She's like sitting at the kitchen counter with the cameras getting like emotional about how awesome Kirk Cousins is that he called Michael Penix on the phone.
I wish there were a scene in there, though, where Kirk Cousins, classic boring dad type, if he had said like, this new offense, it's so complicated. There's so much motion and everything. If she had said like, big surprise, you don't like all that motion. Joe Missionary.
It's Netflix. They could have gotten a little dirty, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. The last three. So Julie Cousins, loser number one. Steve Spagnuolo, defensive coordinator for the Chiefs, loser number two. You remember there was that game early in the season that the Chiefs beat the Bengals? It was on a very controversial pass interference call that kept the drive alive for the Chiefs. Bengals should have won the game. And the Bengals started out 0-2. The Bengals started out 1-4 on the season, but that made them 0-2 on the season. And Burrow could just see the right, like they flashed to Burrow on the sidelines. He'd just thrown a touchdown to put them ahead. And now they're lining up for a field goal. The Chiefs are to win it. He's got his teammate, Jake Browning, coming up like, hey man, even if they make this field goal, just know that like you're back. And Burrow's like, we're about to lose. Like, he didn't say that, but you could tell by the look on his face. Like, I don't give a crap that I'm back. We're about to lose. Yeah. Spagnuolo walks up to Burrow in the handshake scrum after the game. Bad at compliments, because he said hey man, other than our guy, you're the best in the league. And if I'm Burrow, I put myself in Burrow's shoes, my newfound best friend Joe Burrow, and I'm like, I don't give a rip about your guy. And by the way, I've beaten your guy in the playoffs before. I think I might be better than your guy. If you want to compliment him, just say how hard he was to prepare for. Don't drag Mahomes into it as well. Bad at compliments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
F you, Spags. That's my guy Burrow that you're poorly complimenting right there. So that's number two. Number three and four are both Texans. We had someone text in last week saying, hey, on the quarterback documentary, the Lions were talking about how there's a safety on the Texans that bit on play action a lot. So we're going to attack him. And I think that texter thought it was Kalen Bullock they were talking about. It was actually Eric Murray. Eric Murray was the safety they identified, the Lions did, as biting on play action and letting receivers get loose on the backside. In this case, it was tight end Sam Laporta. But if you recall in that game, the Lions waited to set up that play, and they did, and they hit Laporta for a huge game, and they end up scoring a touchdown on that drive that helped them complete the comeback in the second half. Eric Murray... not our problem anymore. He's the Magnificent Gladstone's overpaid problem now.
Yeah.
Eric Murray, loser and quarterback.
Three-year, $20 million contract.
Yep.
The Jaguars, I can't believe the coup they pulled. That was the Jaguars and the Texans have a weird dynamic in trading. Either name brand or nondescript defensive backs, and then that guy not doing as well with the new team. I don't know why we keep doing this. It's been through multiple different GMs, but you remember...
Colvin. Yeah.
Colvin. The opposite was A.J. Boye.
Boye was good for them, yeah.
Boye was...
for the first year, at least.
Yeah, yeah. He was good the first year.
Yeah.
But it wasn't as... it was one of those slot cornerback type deals.
Well, and they didn't get their money's worth on Boye overall.
Yeah, yeah. It fizzled out.
Yeah.
But... Eric Murray got the I'm very happy with the safety situation right
now. Yeah, I am too.
I was really surprised that the Jaguars paid his. I always felt like Eric Murray got a little too much criticism in Houston just because Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby gave
him
way too much money.
Yeah.
But his versatility was very valuable.
He was a solid enough role player. I just wouldn't give him $7 million a year like they did. Last one, Bobby Slowik. Loser. And why would that be? Did they even show Bobby Slowik in the documentary? Well, they did show the Lions game in which the Texans couldn't score in the second half of that game. But the part that made me really angry, Seth, was they honed in on a Lions game in Minnesota. Texans played in Minnesota last season. They lost 34-7 in week three and could not handle any of Brian Flores' blitzes. Blitz-happy, red button-punching Brian Flores. The Lions were piecing the Vikings. They scored 31 points in a win on the road in that game. That made me mad. That made me mad that they had Ben Johnson and we had Bobby Slowik fumbling around scoring 7 points in that game in Minnesota. So Bobby Slowik, loser in the quarterback documentary.
Man,
so there you go.
How do you screw up an entire documentary without even showing your face?
Without even showing up on it.
What the hell, man?
Yep, yep. So there it is. This is my overall rating for it. I would give... It's really good the first three episodes. It drags a little bit in the middle. But then knowing that all three of these quarterbacks sort of end in a cathartic way, you know, Burrow was an MVP candidate who didn't make the playoffs. Goff lost in the divisional round. And Cousins got benched. I was very anxious to watch those parts. Those parts were very compelling.
The next big Netflix NFL documentary that I know is coming up is it's a Cowboys documentary, but it looks like a Jerry Jones documentary about the 1990s Cowboys coming up in August, I think.
Do you think
I'm going to hate watch that.
Do you think they'll be forthright about all the off-the-field stuff with the Cowboys back
then?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, based on the trailer, 100%.
Okay.
I think like a lot of these historical ones that you watch, there's not a lot of new information. If you've paid attention, there's not a lot new. I mean, Michael Irvin has spoken pretty liberally about how bad the relationship was between Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones. And Irvin basically blames Jerry Jones for it. So I think for people that haven't seen those interviews before, this might seem shocking that I'm guessing Michael Irvin will speak in the same manner. But yeah, I say like 2/3 of the time when there's a sports documentary about an already famous team, you already knew most of this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Jeff Luno spoke on the Crush City podcast. Does he think he's been blackballed from baseball? Could he come back at some point?
Why?
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
What could possibly have caused that?
Well, I don't know. It's weird. People get so touchy about things. We'll find out coming up next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
All right, here's Jeff Luhnow from the Crush City podcast. He was on with Tyler Stafford and Chandler Rome last week, and it's a good interview. Do you get the itch? Well, by the way, we should preface. Jeff Luhnow doing fantastic in his next chapter in life. He works for a company, I think it's called Blue Crow Sports. I'll look it up during the break.
They own a bunch of, franchises.
Yeah, international soccer teams in Mexico and overseas.
And when you say he works for, I mean, it's his company that he raised money for. Yeah.
So that's what he's doing these days. He seems very, very happy doing it. The day they did this interview, his company had just closed a deal to buy a team over in France. So they're continuing to add to their portfolio. Do you ever get the itch to come back and give it a go at baseball again?
I don't think a lot about coming back to baseball, but having this conversation with you guys and thinking about all this history and things that I did well and things that I didn't do well and kind of reflecting around it, it certainly would be fun and interesting to go back into baseball. I know that my teams and my investors and my partners would probably not like that a lot at this point.
Hey, I know I raised all this money to buy all these soccer teams, but the Mets called.
If you think about it, honestly, it's pretty impressive that it's impressive what he did just before we get into the actual Astros side of things. He was coming off the heels of all this controversy and everything. And then it was in like 2021 that he founded the company, raised money from, I think most of the investors are from Houston, and just had this vision to go out and, hey, I'm getting in the soccer biz. Or football, as he now calls it. Mm-hmm. I was offended. But you know, obviously, he's in that world. He calls it football. So, and he goes out and buys several soccer teams. And he's not the GM. He's the owner / president of all those. But he's managing multiple franchises with different dynamics and the way they handle trades and salary and everything. And you can hear in this interview, the guy's just so smart.
He is really smart.
And it is. The entire time that he's talking about whether or not he would ever come back to baseball, it's tough because I'm really happy with where they are with Dana Brown. And obviously, he's never going to come back to Houston. The league, without officially not allowing, I don't think would allow it. But I almost feel like there's so many guys that are building on or trying to emulate what Luno did that it's just kind of sad that he's out of the game completely.
Yeah. And originally, we should point out, it wasn't the league that banned Luno and A.J. Hinch. It was Jim Crane's decision. It was originally a one-year suspension.
Yeah.
And that would have what would have been interesting about that, you look skeptical that that's the case, but neither here nor there. Let's pretend at face value that they were suspended, because Alex Cora got suspended for a year and came back afterwards to the Boston Red Sox. That would have been the ideal year to get suspended. That was the COVID year. Like, you could have just looked at that. Well, that's a throwaway. Nobody's counting this season anyways.
Right.
You would have gotten good value out of that one-year ban.
The timing would have been good. Yeah. I'm not a conspiracy theorist about it or anything, but everything was a little bit too convenient that the Astros got the punishment they did, but meanwhile, also the owner decided to fire both the manager and the GM. And,
yeah, maybe.
I wouldn't be surprised if there were some kind of pressure from the league to be sure Crane handled.
No, I wasn't. My point was that it was 2020. Yeah. If they actually did that, it would have been the COVID year. That would have been a good year to be suspended for a season. Luno points out, now, if you think he's blackballed, he says he's not. He's heard from a few Major League Baseball teams.
I've had, I'm not going to tell you who, but I've had two or three owners contact me and ask me if I was interested. In either a role as GM or another role, maybe as a different role where I'd oversee the sporting operation. And in all cases, I said no, because at the time I was raising money and starting my company. But you know, I don't think I'm blackballed from baseball like some people think. And I know I would do a good job. I mean, I know that for a fact.
He's the equivalent. He's the GM equivalent of an elite baseball player. He's the best general manager in the history of this city as of right now. You know, like he won two World Series. He won the one in 2017, and then go look at all the guys who were on the team in the one in 2022. They're all Luno guys, other than guys that picked up trade. You know, Phil Maton and guys like that. It's all Luno guys.
And I think, too, with Luno, part of it, like, obviously, when you tank and you're able to bolster the pipeline, et cetera, et cetera, I think it'd be easy to just dismiss it as like, oh, they just tanked. It wasn't just the talent that they got, because the tanking didn't really help that much in identifying all the Latin American prospects that, for one, most of baseball thought guys like Framber were just too old, over the hill. At the age of 19, and all of the, like, they did so many, going aggressively after Cuban players when a lot of teams were hesitant to go after Cuban players. The contract they gave Yuli was pretty aggressive, you know, at a time where people weren't as comfortable in scouting Cuban players. He did so many things to improve the talent level above and beyond just tanking, but then also creating a system developmentally where there was just way more cohesiveness and a common theme at each level of the game. It was building the entire organization, the things that they built, that he and Brent Strom worked to build on the pitching side of things and the analytics. Yeah, it really, it was impressive. And you credit Crane for having the gonads to do it with Jeff Luno. It was a very atypical hire in a lot of ways.
Yeah, no doubt. Texter says, if you ran a poll, I think a lot of Astro fans would want Luno back. That's interesting. I don't have an issue with it. I mean, I think Dana Brown's doing a fine job right now as GM, but if they were to bring him back, I'm over 2020 or 2019 or whatever.
If I based it just on social media treatment of him, in the last couple of years, I've definitely noticed a very, very positive, like a more unanimously positive appraisal of it. Everybody's kind of gotten over whatever hard feelings they had or what have you. I thought Luno, when he was asked these questions by Tyler Stafford and Chandler Rome, they were very fair questions. I thought Luno was doing a really good job of being respectful of Dana Brown and the Astros.
100%. Yes.
You know, he said he didn't really want to, you know, if the Astros invited him to a game, he might go to an Astros game someday, but he's not going to go there. He said he's been to Texans games and he's been to Rockets games, but he's had opportunities to go to Astros games, but he hasn't gone. And I think he's just trying to be as respectful as possible about that.
Said he hasn't
when he says that he's had conversations with owners, I 100% believe him. Compared to, like, remember when Greg Williams claimed that seven teams had offered him the head coaching jobs without interviews?
Didn't he say he got letters from a bunch of teams?
Yeah, he said he's had requests from 11 teams and even claimed that four of them would have given him the job without interviews. Yeah,
he's a clown.
That's Greg. Greg Williams is a whack job clown.
Yeah,
Luno's the opposite of that.
No, yeah, I believe Luno, and Luno had said that not just GM positions, but some had talked about overseeing, I forget how he phrased it, like sports operations, which led me to believe that maybe there's some owners that reached out to him that own multiple teams across different sports.
Yeah.
To oversee, you know, like operation, like a COO, kind of what he's doing now, but like with multiple sports possibly, you know?
What he's doing now, it's fascinating because he owns multiple clubs, soccer clubs, but it sounds like, wow, that's a lot. And then you realize, oh yeah, that's a Major League Baseball organization when you've got all of your affiliates, whether you own them or not, and all managing everything. Baseball's fascinating. Of all the sports which I would be a bad GM at, baseball is by far the worst one because just of the immensity of the organization and trying to manage all those moving parts. So for him, it makes sense that, okay, yeah, we can manage multiple teams and keep all these moving parts because this is a lot like a baseball system.
Boy, I wonder what it was like him. Like, of all the things to watch, the 2022 World Series with – like virtually all of his guys out there winning it. You know what I mean? It says a lot. It says a lot about the organization that you get rid of those two guys. They've won a World Series with two different GMs, two different managers, and they're trying to do it with a third GM and a third manager. It says a lot about the staying power of the organization.
It's a lot like when I had retired from being a pimp. And, you know, I turned out a lot of hoes. And every now and then I'd see one of them do something great. And I'd be like, you know, I played a small part in that.
Right.
It's not her. I just appreciate her success.
It's the exact same thing.
You know?
Ross.
Once VHS entered the picture and became almost a competing interest, I was like, all right, I'm going to let my hoes kind of make their own living, you know.
That was nice of you.
Yeah.
Sometimes their feathers are too beautiful to keep them here. You got to let them fly.
It's time for me to put the cane down.
Yep. Yeah. The cane and the fur coat and the pimp hat and everything. That was a good era for you, though. Heck yes. Brown is fine, but I'd take Luno back in a heartbeat. That's a text. Hell yes, I'd take Luno back in a second. All right. So There are a few people. Oh, someone's saying Ross Tucker interviewed Will Anderson, and it's on YouTube.
Ooh!
Two of my favorite people. So I'll go watch
it. Let's just play the whole interview in the next segment. Let's just steal his content completely.
Openly.
Let's just play it.
Openly. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you.
People will just think you're doing your Ross Tucker impression.
So will. Yeah. All right, Payne and Pendergast on a Monday. We'll find out what the guys got going on In the Loop. I'm guessing Reggie is back this week. And we'll take inventory here at the kind of, it's not literal halfway point, but virtual halfway point for the Astros. What parts of this team are we feeling good about the most? Which are we feeling a little trepidation about? We'll do that in the final segment coming up next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with All Trails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Right side, that's a base hit. And Zach Short takes the Astros to the finish line.
That was Zach Short walking it off on Saturday for the Astros. We played a lot of Jeff Luhnow audio today from the interview he did with the Crush City podcast guys. And it turned into, hey, if you could take Luhnow back, would you take Luhnow back? And now it's turned into, who would you rather have back? I'm talking on the text page, Seth. Who would you rather have back, Hinch or Luhnow? And I hate this because I think Dana Brown and Joe Espada are doing a good job this year. So when you say, oh, yeah, I'd like that guy back, it's to imply, well, fire that guy. He's been. Now, that said, my answer is Luhnow. Of the two,
it's
I'd rather
Adam
have back.
Schefter's Adam Schefter's wife. Remember, her husband is a war hero, isn't he? He died in combat.
Wait, who? Adam Schefter's wife is a war hero?
Adam Schefter's a war hero?
Adam Schefter?
Adam Schefter's wife's husband. Like, she's a widower.
Adam Schefter's wife's husband.
Dead husband.
Oh,
Adam Schefter is married to a woman whose husband died.
Okay, I didn't know. Okay, got you. Yeah. Okay, I didn't. Okay. I missed. Got you.
Why are you not understanding my indecipherable way I put that?
You're talking about him. You said husband implies present.
Why do you not? No, I assumed you knew. So you'd be like, so I believe it was Adam Schefter who married a woman whose husband had died in the war.
Gotcha.
I cannot say it the way I meant to say it, and I might be inaccurate in my taking up of it.
I believe
but
you.
It's kind of like asking her, like, hey, who would you rather have?
Right.
Would you rather have your husband the war hero if you were back and alive, or do you like Adam Schefter, who sacrificed all his journalistic integrity for nuggets?
It's an interesting analogy. Yeah. It's true.
You have one man who died for a cause, and then you have one guy who sold his soul to be a nugget hussy.
Yeah, who buys chocolate for GMs around the league and agents so they'll give him nuggets of things. Yeah. She did pretty good. I mean, Adam Schefter makes a good living for sure.
But I feel disrespectful to Dana Brown in saying, and yet I don't know. Jeff Luhnow is a different. Jeff Luhnow is just he's in a different category in terms of original thinkers. He's just he kind of breaks the mold in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I look. I'm fine with where the Astros are, and they've done great things since both those guys got fired, Hinch and Luhnow. But that interview did make me nostalgic for what might have been if the sign stealing had A, never happened, or B, had never been discovered. You know, what might have been. But they've done fine. They won a World Series.
Yeah. Schefter's wife's husband, he was a first responder who, he died in 9/11.
Oh, wow. So. Okay.
I never should have started joking about this in the first place. Mostly I wanted to take a shot at Adam Schefter.
Well,
now everything's taking a very dark turn.
It's when you said husband, because husband implies present, and that you didn't say former or ex-husband.
No, I understand all that. Yeah. I just don't want to talk about it anymore because it's a tasteless joke.
Yes. Oh, gotcha. Okay, gotcha. Well, let's talk about the Astros. Thing you are most excited about from the first half of the season that you think carries over into the second half of the season?
That's a really good question. Because some of the, I guess Jake Myers is a big one. I think Jeremy Pena's ascendancy to, at the time of his injury, being one of the best three players in the AL by wins above replacement.
Yeah.
I think Jeremy, that excites me the most.
Yeah, Pena.
And yet I'm also keenly aware that he only has 2 years of team control left, which means I have to start mourning him and looking for the next to so I can marry some Adam Schefter somewhere.
That's the thing for me. Like if it were a week ago, and I were to name the things that excited me the most, well, say like 3 weeks ago when Pena was still healthy, it would have been Pena. It would have been Jake Myers. It would have been the top two in the rotation of Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez. It would have been Josh Hader at the back end of the bullpen. Like, other than Pena, like a week ago or a week and a half ago, you named those things. And now all of them are going into the break with some level of, you know, either, you know, sketchiness or injured or lack of momentum. You know, like Hader's not had a good couple outings, although he got kind of victimized by the ballpark he plays in. Hunter Brown's not been good the last two times he's gone out. I mean, of all those guys we just named, Framber's the only guy that's playing either healthy or playing at a high level going into the break here.
Yeah, it's funny that as good a position as the Astros are in right now, the fact that it blindsided me a little bit when you asked, what are you feeling most positive about? Because I just came off of watching them lose five out
of
six
true.
Games.
Yeah, that's fair.
But in the grand scheme of things, oh, yeah, I remember. I remember a couple weeks ago when I was riding the high and everything. The universe was aligned in our favor and all that. I remember those days. And Jeremy Pena was one of the things I was most excited about.
Almost a week ago to the minute, we did a segment like, when are they going to lose a series again?
Which was tongue-in-cheek. We knew that they would lose. We didn't know they were going to lose immediately.
No. And our answer was not September. Yeah. I believe we were concerned about this Seattle series coming out of the All-Star break because it's on the road. You know, Seattle's going to be desperate, all those things.
But we also said that there's also a good chance that it's to a bad team.
Right.
Not because, hey, the Astros played down to bad teams or anything, but just because that's baseball. These things happen. Yep. The Guardians had to slug, the Mariners had to slug it out with the Guardians right before the Guardians came in to face the Astros. Yep. So The biggest part of it was it was a good reminder that, man, there's a bit of luck and flukishness when it comes to winning that many games with these AAA players scattered about all over the place and with half your starting pitchers on the IL, all of that. You can play above expectations, but, man, to be as good as they were, there's probably a little bit of good luck involved with that. And just say, hey, we'll take the good luck. Where they are right now, before guys come back from injuries, you see just how precarious the situation is in that you can't afford bad performances by Hunter. You can't afford bad. They got away with a bad performance by Framber two performances ago.
Yeah.
But the All-Star break was needed so badly right now, because if you look at Hunter, look at Framber. And then, I don't put Lance. Lance isn't a bona fide number three guy right now, obviously. No. But all three of those guys, they racked up so many pitches in the early innings in these last few games to the point where, and you're realizing the reality of the situation is, man, the bullpen's been great, but they can't afford to have a starting pitcher have a performance like this.
No.
Not with these bats.
No.
Not with the things that are going on around them.
I didn't like Lance's answer after the game on, what was it, Friday that he pitched?
Yeah.
That he said, keep in mind, he pitched three innings, gave up five runs, threw 83 pitches in three innings. I mean, so let's start there. His quote about the game was, game boils down to two pitches, two out, two strike pitches to two lefties that I should be able to handle, so it's just kind of the story of the game right there, end quote. And I'm going, I mean, yeah, those two at-bats were really important. They drove in runs at crucial times where he could have gotten out of it. That's an answer you use if you pitch six or seven innings, scattered some hits. The one inning you put a couple guys on, you make a bad pitch to Cal Raleigh or somebody like that, you know, some home run hitter. And that's, you know, that's that answer. You can't have that answer in a game where you only go three innings because you threw 83 pitches.
It reminds me of that old saying about how people go broke most of the time. And it's that it's very slowly and then all at once. It's usually a combination of a bunch of bad decisions or bad luck, and then all of a sudden, the death blow.
Yeah.
Like, that's what that was. Okay, you can afford to have a couple of two-out, two-strike bad pitches in a game if you don't have a boatload of runners on base and if you haven't run your pitch count up.
Yes.
It's good. He's got to reframe it in his mind to stay positive and all that. But, yeah, it doesn't – it rubs you the wrong way a little bit. When
83
you
pitches in three innings.
Way.
Yeah, come on. Acknowledge that at least you're not being – and that's, you know, like – that's who Lance is never going to be an economical pitcher. He's never going to be efficient. He's always going to have a high pitch count. He's never going to be a seven or eight inning guy. And that's just who he is. But he does have good outings within that framework. Friday just wasn't one of them, you know?
Well, even in within that performance, you could still see when he has his command on various pitches, he's really, really hard to hit. But, man, his command – I was at the point where I was giving the umpire a break because the umpire was all over the place in that game. But, I mean, on any given pitch, Lance was 2 feet outside the strike zone and then back into a pinpoint around the corner. He was just so erratic.
Biggest disappointment for me in the first half is Christian Walker. And it's hard to come up with others that are – I mean, other than the injuries. The injuries are a major disappointment, but I can't blame anybody for those. As far as just pure performance, it's Christian Walker, and it's not even close. Like he is a negative wins above replacement guy right now. He's your $20 million guy, $60 million overall that you paid him this offseason to be the solution at first base. And this is a guy who is a plus defensive player. He's not been great defensively, but he's been a plus defensive player this year and still has a negative WAR. So I don't want to hear anything from people when I tweet that I'm going to have a hard time watching two more years of Christian Walker. That, well, he's only batting, you know, his batting average is only 20 points less than what he normally. His OPS is 660. That's terrible for a guy that's getting $20 million and you're batting cleanup half the games. Yeah. That's awful. That's the worst part. That was a huge component to them going 18-18 to start the season instead of being what they've become over the last couple of months. Is that Christian Walker came up? Nobody came up with more guys on base than Christian Walker and then would strike out half the time.
I think defensively has been the biggest letdown where with Bregman. Bregman would go through his funks offensively, but he was always really, really good as a fielder. You look at outs above average, and in the last 3 years, Christian Walker had 14 outs above average, 12, 13.
Yeah.
This year so far, he's on pace for zero. I can do this math in my head. They're a little bit over halfway through the season. He's at zero. He's on pace for zero outs above average. So defensively, yeah, he's not been
job,
the same
buddy.
Guy.
that was a good
Did
job.
Did I get that right, Ben? Fact check me on
Fact
that.
Fact check. If it's zero now.
What's
I believe...
zero times two?
Yeah. Ben?
Zero.
Zero. Okay, you're on
but
track.
What's two times zero?
Yeah. Good
Come
job.
On, Ben. You can
zero.
Do it.
Oh, you almost
Nil.
He almost tricked you, Ben. I could see the nervousness.
That's the old commutative property. Did
something,
I get that right?
Were you moving back and forth like
right.
that?
It's back something, and forth. Is something, the same.
Something
communicable
like that.
Disease property.
That's right.
It. Yeah,
that's
yeah,
it.
There you go. That's John Lopez. Luke Morrow in. Reggie Addatul out one more day. He's pulling a Lopez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've created a trend.
Taking
baby.
That extra day to recover from vacation. Yeah.
Y'all can blame me.
Lopez. Yeah, did I mention that when Sean does, you know what Sean was doing on his day back from vacation?
What's that?
Drinking at Lizards. Yeah, that's how he had to.
That's
he had to
not how it
down.
Works.
I had to get back in shape.
That's not how it works.
It's tapering. Yeah.
I had to get back. I had to get my groove back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. So what's happened? Good weekend, boys?
Terrific weekend. Yeah, I feel cool. like I made Luke sick, though.
Why?
By the way, Reggie's going to be back tomorrow. Did I make you sick?
What'd you mean? What happened?
Yeah, you picked up on that?
I did. I was chatting with him before the show, and I was sick all last week. I tried to fake it as best I could. But
you
I was,
were?
I was miserable.
Oh, thanks for coming in.
I was
and
miserable.
Facing me directly 4 feet away.
But I was very careful. I would stay away from people. You know, obviously with Luke, I didn't hug him or kiss him or anything.
Yeah. Those all the hugging and kissing that you do around the office.
And I came in this morning, and I say, what's up? How's it going? All right. I'm like, oh, crap.
Oh, you infected him, huh?
Oh, crap.
Okay. Well, for what it's worth, I feel good.
Good.
I
good.
Feel good. So what's the question of the day?
The question of the day. Now, let me be very, very clear here. I believe him. And him
Who are we
being,
talking about?
Him being Isak Paredes.
Oh, okay.
But what's an excuse you hear that immediately makes you skeptical? Because when I heard, well, he'll be back fine, you know, after the All-Star break, but he's going to miss the All-Star game okay. because of a family matter. I went, I've used that.
Family matter.
Yeah, I would imagine like teachers probably get the family issues all the time
because there's nothing you can do.
Yeah. Like, all right, I'm not gonna press you.
Yeah.
But you know what sucks about that is when you genuinely have that excuse and you're offering it as an. You know when you give an excuse that is 100% valid, but you feel like they're just gonna. They're going to assume that I'm just making this up.
What if the dog really ate your homework?
Yeah, exactly.
Had to have happened at one point.
At
or
one
another.
Point
that's where the somebody. Pattern of behavior comes in. If it's somebody that's constantly giving you the dog ate my homework excuse.
Yeah. Crosstalk sponsored by D&M Auto Leasing. Speaking of autos, that would be mine.
Mm-hmm.
Anything involving a car, there's always a degree of skepticism. Yeah. If there are priors, if it's somebody who is initially a non-trustworthy person or has made excuses before, their car trouble hits differently than the car trouble of people who are always very reliable.
That's the pattern that matters. Yeah. This is one, I usually accept this as an excuse, except that I probably shouldn't, but I accept it because I do make this genuine mistake a lot of times, is somebody will say, oh my gosh, I totally missed this text. They'll reply to a text like 2 weeks later, and they'll say, oh, I'm sorry, I totally missed this text. I tend to believe people in that, but I suspect that it's usually a lie in reality. Yeah. Is that probably true?
No, that is true. I'm feeling
it's mostly a lie when it's coming from me. I can tell you that. Yeah, not to you. I always respond to your text.
Well, I see a lot of times texts just don't register. I kind of, if it happens during the show, this happened. Like, I tell people, don't text me during the show, because if I see it, it's gone out of my brain.
Yep. That's what I use. The during the show text is a good one to lean on for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, in regards to text, I think if it's within like 24 hours, I think it's a good excuse. I've gotten a text like 2 weeks later. I don't know. I feel like that's a little more intentional. It just suddenly pops in your mind 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
Well, no, it doesn't. It's usually what'll happen is because I'll have to text that person for something completely different. And when I go to text them, I see their previous text. Yeah. I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
They probably could have used that advice on how to administer CPR 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's true.
Do they die?
Yeah.
Do the text. Yeah. What happened?
Sorry I missed this. Yeah. Is your mother still alive?
Oh, my God. All right, this is a good one. I like this.
Yeah.
I'll be taking notes at 10:40 so I can use some of these.
Going to out Mark Vandermeer.
Well, I cut Luke off, though, I think, didn't I? Did Luke get to his?
Oh, I was going to say, I hate to be the bad guy, but I think we've gotten to a point where I'm very empathetic with mental health for sure, but I think we've gotten to a point where now people realize they can use that as their excuse and you can't ask any questions anymore.
Mental health day.
Yeah, so we have like so many athletes, especially in the NBA, use that all the time. Like Ben Simmons used that as an excuse for not playing.
He skipped whole seasons over mental health.
Yeah, Kyrie Irving just ran away from the Nets, you know, mental health, and then he's seen in the club like partying with his sister, but he can't play basketball. Yeah. So I think that's the new one where you just throw that out there and no one can say anything.
Yeah,
you can't judge.
Yeah, it's
and,
a big deal.
I think people, unfortunately, are taking advantage of it.
Yeah, yeah. Royce White.
Yeah, there's a part of me that coldly and callously wants to be like, hey, mental being mentally unhealthy comes with a gig, all right?
If I took a mental health day every time.
I'm going to need to fight through this a little bit here.
All right, Crosstalk, sponsored by D&M Auto Leasing. Seth, antibodies, especially the ones that will protect you from Lopez.
God, dog, I feel bad.
To you.
You know why? I'm not feeling so great today, but my issue was, the bug I caught was, I haven't been, I've been off refined carbs for a long time now, but I was at the grocery store yesterday, and wouldn't believe the deal they had on a half dozen day-old cinnamon raisin bagels.
Oh, those are good, too. I don't even mind the day-old.
The bakery made ones, too. These weren't Thomas's.
Yeah.
It was like, I had about the equivalent of a dozen bagels yesterday. Man,
dude,
I'm feeling it.
A bakery bagel is a good solid 30 or 40% bigger than a brand name bagel.
When I had to eat them all yesterday because they were day old already.
Right. You know the last thing you want
to
eat is a
toaster and everything.
Yep.
I slaved in front of a toaster all yesterday afternoon.
What'd you slather on them? I'm sure you didn't eat them dry. What'd you put on them?
About 3 sticks of butter.
There you go. That's what I'm looking for. That's my man. That's the old Seth Payne right there. All right. We are done. We are out of time. You're listening to KILT AM, KILT FM HD2, Houston, an Odyssey sports station.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.